It looks like a big eye, doesn't it? Anybody ever see that in the Hubble? Yeah, I think it's God's eye. No. Is that better? Can you look at that? Is that easier to read this time? Much better. Right on. The finished work of Christ. This is where we're at. This is where we're continuing. I want us to see some things here. It says here, guys, that we have been recreated with a new image now that we are in Christ. We are recreated with a new image now that we are in Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that for a second. Those of us that are in Christ, those of us that are listening in through the internet, around the world, wherever they're at, we need to think about this statement. We are recreated with a new image now that we are in Christ Jesus. But that's the big question there, isn't it? So why don't I feel it? You know, we've been talking about things about Jesus and how the work is finished and how we need to stand in that work and we need to stand in faith and we need to stand in what Christ has already accomplished, that we're partakers of that and we live by the Spirit. The life that we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Okay, so we have all this stuff. So the thing about it is, guys, is whether you have sin in your lives or whether you are just, you're like, I really can't do anything for God, or I really am just, what's the point? And 100 different other things that you think. The bottom line is the reason why we don't feel it is because of this. Because we lack faith. God's word is very explicit. We see this in Hebrews 11. It says, without faith, think about this for a second. It doesn't say if you smoke, you don't please God. It doesn't say that if you drink, you don't please God. That's not what it's saying here. There's other verses I would assume for that or whatever. It doesn't say if you cuss, it's impossible to please God. No, it hits Christians where they're at. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You may be doing all the right things. You may be walking the legalistic line. You may be walking the legal line. You may be walking the Ten Commandment line. But if you have not faith, you are not pleasing God. That's all there is to it. I don't know how many times Jesus said to his disciples, "Oh, you of little faith." Guys, maybe it's that simple. Maybe it's not about everything that we do. Granted, there are things that we're supposed to do and not do. I understand that. Let's not even get into that. Maybe it's something as simple as this. Maybe the problem is that you have no faith. If you look at the second paragraph there, it says it's by faith and not by sight. How many times a day do you want to see God? Or how many times a day do you want to feel what God says is already true? And so therefore, you're not going to believe it until you feel it. God doesn't say that. Because that would be sight. And there's something about faith that's given on this side of eternity that works in us for God. Feelings follow faith, but they're not the other way around. But many of us live our lives like that. We live our lives by feelings. We live our lives by what we see. God's Word says that what we see, this is not the real world. I hear people tell me this all the time. They say, well, you don't know what it's like in the real world. And they don't necessarily sound like that. Some of them say, well, you don't know what it's like in the real world. You know, whatever voice they want to use. Guys, really? Seriously? Don't bring that one to me. I'll tell you why. Because this is not the real world. There was a teacher at Moses Lake Christian School back when I was a youth pastor there. And his kids would always say the same thing. Well, Mr. So-and-so, you don't know what it's like in the real world. And he would say, really? So what is the real world? Well, what I live in every day. And he would say, really? Is that what the Word says? Because what I read is this isn't the real world. This is temporal. There's somewhere else that you're going to live for eternity that makes your 80 years here or whatever look like a spit. You are going to live somewhere for millions and millions without end years. Death is not the end. So you tell me what's the real world. It's not this. I read in here that we're sojourners, that we're pilgrims, that we're just people kind of passing through for whatever we need to experience in this life for the next. But guys, if you're a believer, everything in this life is training for the next. What's the real world? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, faith is in the Scriptures. Oh my goodness. I can't even count how many. You know, I got this new Bible program, you know, so. Well, it's not that new. I've had it for a couple of years now. But I guess I could probably tally it for you, and it's probably hundreds and hundreds of times faith is used. So maybe it's something as simple as that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay, God is saying some things now about your new image. Do you feel it? I don't know, but that's not faith. Faith is this. Here's what the Word says. Colossians 3:10. And we have been clothed with the new man that is being renewed in knowledge. There's a little key there. See that little arrow that just popped up? That little arrow means that new man is being renewed. The word there, if you want to do your little Greek stuff that all of you guys can do, is being renewed is present passive. In other words, it's happening right now, but it's being engineered by something else outside of you. That's what passive means. Something else is renewing you, but the fact of the matter is that it's being renewed right this very moment. And this is where the action is, according to the image of the one who created it. Now that's kind of interesting because what you have here is you have like a clone. It's probably a bad analogy. But if Kathy, if you were out creating other Kathys, would you want to do that? Oh, gotcha. Okay. Let's say you did. All of those would be according to the image of you who created them. So they would all be they'd all be other Kathys, okay? Well, this is the same thing. It's really, that's a bad analogy, but it does fit, kind of. According to the image of the one who created it. This new man is the same image as the one who created it. Who is the one? Okay, let me ask you a question now. Here's some questions that you need to ask. These are questions that are going to pop in your head. These are questions that you're going to get today through your email, because we've started a new thing now. It's called Sermon Prep Through the Week. Okay, whether you do it in your small groups or not, you still get it. Well, I've decided to go around the small group thing, because not everybody's in small groups. And so what you're going to get is you're going to get questions of this sermon this week, so that our minds are tuned to what's being said up here throughout the week. So you're going to be sleeping and eating Sunday throughout the week. This is being renewed according to the image of the one who created it. This new man, this is the question I want to ask you. Is there any sin in God? Is there any darkness? Is there any sin in the Holy Spirit? Is there any darkness in the Holy Spirit? You are temples of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? See, now wait, now we're in 501, and one of the students in 501 got really hot and bothered about this, because he, she, whoever that was thinking that I was saying something that I really wasn't. Because what this says, it almost goes, wait a minute, so temple, Holy Spirit, no sin. I sin, that's a problem. What, is sinless perfection? Is that what Mike's talking about? Mm-mm. No, but we also don't want to use an excuse. See, many Christians use split personality Christianity as an excuse. They say, I agree. I totally agree that I am the temple of the Holy Spirit, but there's this flesh that's there, and really this flesh, it's like two big things that are going, and who will win? I don't know. That's not what God's Word teaches. God's Word teaches that this flesh has been crucified. It's dead. It's rendered powerless. The only way that it can activate is if you pick it back up again. That's how it activates. It's still there. It's throwing thoughts in your head. It's spewing all its venom. But God's Word by faith says you are dead to it. So these are questions that we need to ponder. Okay? Stay with me now. This new man being renewed, we're going to see this over and over again. Now, I ask you these questions because I want you to think. Is these are not easy. The temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit gain in knowledge? No, it's God. But somehow, some way, this spirit that's now in you, this new man that's now in you, let's just go there, somehow is gaining every day. Huh? That's what I'm reading. Present passive. Something's acting on you to grow this new image up. Now, whether the Spirit is in there and it's doing its work, and this new image is kind of like a new man. See, the thing we don't understand about God, this is the thing where we don't go. God is really holistic. I know we say that word and we're like, oh, that's so new age. No, he really is. He's holistic. Can you separate yourself from yourself? You can't. You're stuck with yourself, aren't you? You can't pop out of your flesh. You don't have that choice. You're going to pop out someday, but it's not your choice. God really weaves everything together, so it's kind of like this organism that functions as one whole. But yet there's a part of this organism that's dead. And there's another part that's alive. But then there's a part of you that's being renewed. I don't know. I don't know how that works totally 100%. Mary said we're on this little journey together. But I do know what Scripture is teaching. Something is being renewed. And it's the new man. But that's who you are by faith. Do you believe that? Guys, here's the deal. You know, I cannot express this enough. Jesus came down to us and clothed himself in humanity. He became a man. The holy triune God, however you want to say it theologically, became a man. How dirty is that? It's incomprehensible. But yet, Jesus was able to retain, you know, and don't give me the excuse here that, well, he was God. Okay, I understand he was God. But Jesus was still able to retain his presence, his being, his essence in the midst of just being a human. And not only that, but he didn't just be a human, that he hung out at times with the low humans, the unsaved, the tax collectors, the sinners. But yet, he wasn't one of them. Some of you guys have jobs. Some of you have areas that you have to go into where that are ugly. But like Jesus, he was able to maintain who he was. According to God's word, you are able to do the same. See, we get into problems is that we become chameleons. That's where we get into problems, where we become like those around us. Did Jesus become like those around him? But that same power is in us. I know for some of us, you're like, oh man, you don't know where I work, dude. I mean, this is like, I mean, I'm there 8 hours a day. There's an image thing there, guys. It's being renewed day by day. It doesn't mean you're a prude. It just means you don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. You are a royal priesthood. You are a special person. You are a saint. See, if we look at it from that point of view, by faith, then the world is easier to resist, is it not? It's when we don't know who we are that sin and the world pushes in on us. That's when we struggle. I think every Christian who's ever had massive failures in his life, if you can look at prior to that, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see an acceptance problem in there. You're going to see a satanic struggle where Satan is literally trying to unseat your relationship with your daddy. He's trying to get you to think, who's my daddy? I don't know who my daddy is. And if I don't know who my daddy is, then the joy of the Lord is not my strength, and therefore I can't resist the devil. And he sneaks in. This image has come from truth. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about truth today. It says, put on the new man who has been created in God's image in righteousness and holiness that comes from truth. Here's another one, and it tells us don't lose heart. It says, therefore we don't lose heart in 2 Corinthians 4:16. Here's another one. Even though, what's your outward man? Yeah. What is your outward man? It's there. It's what? What is it doing? It's dying. It's perishing. We're born to die. You started dying from the day you were born. What a life. Yet the inward man, where's that word again? And I've looked it up. It's present. It's present tense, passive. Is being renewed day by day. Something is renewing it day by day. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit. Well, these are the questions you need to ask. You'll get my questions. Not yet. I haven't written them yet. He's got them. I got your questions. Yeah, that's the way we should have said it. The inward man's being renewed day by day. Okay, there you go again, guys. Who's your inward man? Is that the new man? Yes, it is. Oh, if the new man's created in righteousness and holiness and God did it, how in the world can it be renewed? I don't know, but it does. I'm just reading what's up there. Isn't God cool? I mean, doesn't he? Guys, you know what? Here's the problem. We don't realize how awesome God is. We don't realize how cool God is. Do you realize with God, within just look at dogs. Just look at dogs. Within a dog is the potential to create hundreds of breeds. Is that a cool God or what? We can take from one dog, domesticate it, and make poodles, dachshunds, Dobermans, pit bulls, Saint Bernards. Guys, there's hundreds of them. This is the kind of God we serve. He is an exciting God. He is a creative God. He is a gift showering God. And we make him out to be a child abuser by the way we live and by what we believe about God. Does he offer trials? Yes, he does, but he does it for our benefit. Somehow, some way, this inward man, this old man, is dead. This inward man is now here, but yet it's being renewed. But yet the Holy Spirit is in us, and he is not being renewed, but he, because he's it. He's God. How can God renew God? Okay, are you with me on this one? Okay, but yet there's an old man that's dead, but a new man is being renewed. Guys, I don't know. That's because God is awesome. How does he do all that? How does it all work? I think we're going to be learning about this for thousands of years. And we're going to sit there and we're going to be like, wow, that, ha, whoo, that is just beyond what I ever thought. Well, let's go back here. Let's go to the old man. The old man was corrupting you. Remember the old man? He was corrupting you and he was conforming you to his corrupt image. Because that's what the old man does. He grows corrupt. He never changes. He does the same thing over and over and over again. He's corrupting you, he's conforming you to his corrupt image. But now, by truth, the new man is being renewed day by day. We've seen this. 2 Corinthians 4:16. By truth, the new man is being renewed day by day. Here's my observations. It seems that the image recreated in us is undergoing constant renewing. That's what it seems. And this is the next statement I had to come up with. It makes me wonder what we'll look like thousands of years from now. Guys, if the old man is constantly growing corrupt and the new man is constantly being renewed, what are we going to look like thousands of years from now? there won't be an old man. There'll be a new man, but the new man is still being renewed. Think about it. The old man is still being corrupted. The new man is now being renewed. I don't even think you're going to be able to recognize yourself 1,000 years from now. You'll be somebody that you'll be like, whoa, I have so come a long way. If the old man is a constant thing, guys, why isn't the new man? I mean, we read it. The new man's being renewed. The new man's being renewed. The new man's being renewed. Can you learn things in heaven? See, this is what we think, guys, sometimes. We think when we finally get to heaven, it's going to be like, burp, and everything we're going to understand. That's not how God is. God is creative. God is a teacher. We are constantly going to be learning new things forever. We don't even understand that. We can't even get that in our heads. We are going to be being perfected. We will be perfect, but yet we're still learning. We're still being renewed. It's kind of weird. Romans 12:2 says this. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. There's another renew by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your minds? Where do we get truth? You get it by God's word. In 501, we were talking the two words, I think. How many times has I think gotten you into trouble? It sounded good to you though, right? It sounded good at the time. But when you checked it with God's word over the years, you realized you were deceived in your own mind. See, in 501, I push the pedal down a little bit. And we push it a little harder. And I come at him just a little bit harder. And we attack the two words, I think. We're not interested in what we think. We're interested in what God says about thinking, about what is right, what is wrong, what is truth, what is not. And we conform ourselves to that. Not by our logic. Our logic is flawed. As good as it sounds. God is logical. God is rational. But God's logic doesn't always match our logic. And so we have to go back to truth. We renew our minds by truth. The sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. That's how we renew our minds. That's where we go. The truth of who we are in Christ and how God views us. That's what truth is, guys. That's faith. Let me ask you a question. At what point, if not now, then when? Okay? At what point are you going to finally decide to start living your Christian life by faith? In what God says. Not by what you feel, but what God says about you. When are you going to do it? Tomorrow? Next week? Maybe next year? No, it has to start today. Today is the day. Today is the day you begin to say, you know what? I'm going to choose to believe what God says about me and no longer believe what these feelings say. Even though I may slip, even though I may fall back, I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to pick up, get up, and keep going and say, this is what is truth. This is what is faith. This is what I choose to believe about me and God now. You know, wherever you're at in this walk, it's not about a measuring line. It's about who you are in Christ. Are you going to start today? Or are you going to go tomorrow? Because, guys, it's a carrot on a stick. We always think there's more time. Because the carrot's in front of us. And we just kind of, guys, today is the day you start thinking different. Now, there are people in this congregation, and there are people within the sound of my voice, where they have this self-image problem. They don't feel like they're worthy of anything. Well, you know, you're not worthy. God is worthy, but he's called you a royal priesthood. He's called you a saint. What are you saying about God? What are you saying about the image? When we say we don't love people, what are we saying about God's image? When we say in our hearts, I don't love people, do you love your brothers, your sisters? Because in 1 John, it talks about loving God. How can somebody who is in God hate his brother? God is love. What point are you going to start to believe what God says about you? Today is the day. Some of us, and guys, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to share with you. I'm saying some hard things, but I'm also going to tell you this. Be ready for the comfortability of a prison. Prisons are comfortable. If we've lived our whole lives not liking people, or we've lived our whole lives thinking that we're worms, or we've lived our whole lives thinking that God doesn't love me and I've got to do all these things in order for him to love me, and then I hope he loves me, but I'm not really sure if he loves me, but I'm thinking he does because I'm doing pretty good, until I find somebody who does more, then I'm all wigged out. That just wigs me out. At what point do we believe? And at what point do we begin to stand on who God says you are? No matter what you're dealing with. And I will tell you this, and here's the point that I was going to make. A prison is comfortable. The old way of thinking will always be a knee-jerk, go back to, this feels right, even though you know that it's not right. It will still feel right. It will be, isn't that the weirdest thing about people? We like comfortability, we need it, even if it's bad for us, we will still resign ourselves into that jail cell. What is that? See, this is what will happen, folks. This is what comes at you. And you have to recognize that it's no longer comfortable to be here. But that's going to take time. It takes time. Outward things, guys, are relatively easy, quote unquote, to change. But you know what's hard to change? Inside. That's where the change gets tough. I'll share with you just one of the things that I went through this week. Last week. A weasel got in the hen house. Guess what happens? Yeah, when you try to catch a weasel, you can't catch it. Got in, killed four chickens. I mean, every hour practically, it was just nailing them. And I'm just thinking, I'm going to lose them all. All my kids saw the wonderful example that I gave. The wonderful example of, they're going to die, let them die. Justin's standing on the porch going, so you're just giving up? And I'm like, I can't do anything, son. It's a weasel. Yeah, I know. Honey badger would be worse. So then I let him, instead of letting him sit in the coffin, okay, I let him run around all night. Well, it was foggy that last week, and then the coyotes killed four more. So I lost eight. And I'm just thinking in my head, what's the point? Life stinks. What up? I get into this mindset, yes, okay, Pastor Mike, okay? I get into this mindset. With me, it's a feel sorry for you, I can't do anything about it mindset. and I can literally feel the plane going, and I'm going, I'm not going to do anything because this is comfortable. I've done this all my life. I'm not going to do anything. This is comfortable. Oh, woe is me. Life is bad. Everything dies. And my kids are seeing this attitude. Well, I just want to give you the good news. I did pull up before I totally crashed. But it's the same thing, guys. And then guess what? As soon as you start buying into that, all the other lies start flying in with it. But see, that's the way I grew up. That was my fail-safe. I would get into the, woe is me, I feel sorry for myself. I resign myself to the fact that everything dies. Instead of doing something about it, which I did, saved 13 of them. Guys, everybody's got their different prisons. Everybody has their prison struggles that they deal with. You may not even, I know some of you are going, dude, just batten down the hatches and help the chickens. You know, and I'm just going, whatever. It's like I sit in my fire pit with sackcloth going, throwing ashes. What is that? But you know what snapped me out of it is I'm saying, wow, this is an awesome example for my kids right now. Not. Guys, they're itchy. Jeff's now going, did he really sit in ashes? Because I know Kennedy, he just might. It's good for your hair, though. Yeah. Okay, you don't have to worry then, do you? Guys, don't go back to the prisons. Don't go back to the old man. He's dead. He's powerless. See, that's an attitude of the old man. That's an attitude of the flesh. You don't have to pick that stuff up again. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. Now, do you believe this? Do you? Because that's the key. That's faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Last bit here. The truth of who we are in Christ and how God views us is the truth. Fear is never a good tutor. At least not for long. Perfect love casts out all fear. That's the tutor. The love of God. Understanding the love of God does not lead to a license to sin. I got to show you guys this stuff. Is that hilarious or what? And I have to read it because people on the internet are going, what? This is what people go, understanding God's grace, understanding the love of God and all this love and all this grace and all this mercy and all this kind of stuff, that's going to lead to a license to sin. Really? How are you doing without a license? Because to me, it seems like to me, people don't need a license to sin. They do pretty good without one. I'm so tired of hearing that. You don't need a license to sin. You do just fine without a license. So don't give me that, well, it's going to create a license to sin. You know, no, it's not. You know what? If you understand love and you understand grace the way it's supposed to be and you understand the Spirit of God the way it's supposed to be, it doesn't lead to sin. It leads to righteousness. What motivates us to be holy, guys? This is what we're talking about next week. What motivates us to be holy? Is it believing what God says about you or gritting your teeth and just suffering? There'll be enough suffering. What do you believe about what God says? That's where we stand. Well, let's stand. Father, I pray, God, for our attitudes that we so easily fall back into. to pick up the old man. He's rendered powerless. He's separated. He's dead. We have the new man. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Behold, all things have become new. I pray, Father, that we would live this way. Enable us to be accepted in the blood, and that we would put our faith and our reliance in that and not ourselves. Because Satan can do amazingly awful things with reliance on ourselves. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Father, and I pray these things, Jesus Christ, in your name. And everybody said, amen. Have a great Sunday.